speaking up and saying what you only wish you could. Here's Gruber.
All right, welcome back to it. The conversations continue over the president's trade deals. And the battles over tariffs came to a bit of a head in Charlevoix, Quebec here at the G7 get-together. It seems like a long time ago, but it was only a handful of days now since the G7 was there. And then the president jetted off to meet with Kim Jong-un in Singapore. Brandon Arnold here, vice president of the National Taxpayers Union. The EU now going to slap the United States with $3 billion in tariffs beginning in July. Brandon, welcome to the conversation.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
In an economy that's $19.5 trillion, as the United States economy is, bigger than all the rest of the G7 economies combined, why would I be concerned about $3 billion in tariffs from the EU?
Well, the first thing is, it's not a huge economic hit, but they are employing a very political strategy. When you look at some of the items on the retaliatory list, it's things like motorcycles, because Harley-Davidsons are made in Wisconsin, where Paul Ryan is from. Bourbon, because it's produced by and large in Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell is from. So it's a political message much more than it is an economic message. The other thing that's important here to note is that the EU would typically wait to adjudicate these tariffs through the World Trade Organization, the WTO. That's what they did back in 2002 with the Bush tariffs. They're not waiting at this point. They're going ahead immediately. They're showing that they're very concerned about the disruption to international standards and that they are going to do tit for tat here and proceed with their tariffs almost immediately.
So let me get this straight. At the pub in London, I'm going to pay more for Woodford Reserve or Old Grandad than I did previously, and I can't get a Harley to ride around Sussex. So what?
That's pretty accurate. Again, the economic, it's not going to devastate our economy. It is going to focus some pain on politically sensitive products. And they're also going after, as you may note here, products that are highly substitutable. So yes, that Woodford Reserve is going to increase in price significantly, but the bottle of Irish whiskey next to it, or Scotch or Canadian whiskey next to it, are going to remain at the same price. So people are going to substitute other alternatives, whereas they might normally buy American products.
Well,
going to devastate the economy.
Yeah, they still might buy, you know, California wine, for example, as opposed to Jim Beam. And so it is, right? I mean, if that's what happens in Kentucky, and so it is. Woodford County, it doesn't sell as many bottles. I think they'll probably be okay, my guess. It's political in nature, but have these folks not realized that Donald Trump continues to come out on top? He does continue to win. I mean, look at all the wins that he has chalked up in just over 500 days. It really is. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, it's pretty impressive, the number of things that he's gotten done to be able to check off his list that he promised voters, right or wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you look at the deregulation that he's been able to implement. That's been fantastic. It's done the economy a world of good. We worked very aggressively in support of the tax reform bill. Very proud to be part of that process. And that's already done a tremendous amount for the economy. And I think the real benefits of it are further down the road. We're just beginning to see the benefits of that bill. But here with the trade war, we're really stepping into some dangerous territory, moving in the direction of trade liberalization, which he has suggested in some instances. He said at the G7 he wanted to see tariffs zeroed out entirely. That's a fantastic message. He's talked about playing hardball with Canada, opening up access to their dairy markets. That's fantastic. But at the same time, he's also moving in what I would say is a negative direction on some of the negotiating points, things like insisting upon a short-term deadline for the expiration of the NAFTA deal. I think that would really stint the amount of investment that we're going to attract here in this country. It's going to be difficult for our businesses to invest billions of dollars, not knowing how supply chains may be affected just a few years down the road.
Well, sure, I suppose that's possible. But and I'm all for, you know, zero tariffs all the way across the board with Canada, Mexico, China, Vietnam, Guatemala, and any place else that we do trading with. Why not? Get rid of all tariffs. But the other countries will never agree to that. There's the problem, is that they will never agree to that. They'll try to blame the United States. But, Brandon, you know as well as I do that will never happen as far as zero tariffs.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. A lot of this is driven by politics more than it is by economics.
You think?
Because Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, Germany wants to protect its auto industry, so there are high tariffs to get our cars into the EU. That's a problem. I would love to see those tariffs come down. We have the same political issues on our side. We're no angels in this fight. We have very high tariffs on pickup trucks. We have quotas and other restrictions on the ability of sugar producers to sell their products in this country, which is why our sugar prices are double that of anywhere else in the world, and we're losing a lot of food manufacturers.
I can assure you of this.
Et cetera.
I can assure you of this. As a pickup truck driver, there is no foreign pickup truck that stacks up to anything made by the big three here. That's number one. So I'm not too worried about pickup truck tariffs because they're just fake trucks anyway. And let's look at what Angela Merkel and Justin Trudeau have to say. Who cares? In all honesty, who cares? Angela Merkel has been overseeing the destruction of her own country by flooding it with migrants and turning to a socialist country. Justin Trudeau really is a weakling on the national and international stage. He's a weakling for a leader. And who cares? We'll do fine. And I believe Donald Trump will do better to do bilateral agreements directly with Canada and Mexico as opposed to NAFTA, because honestly, one size doesn't fit all for America, Canada, and Mexico, right or wrong?
Well, I'm not here to defend Merkel or
No, I understand
Trudeau.
That, but about
many
NAFTA.
Disagreements with them. But I think we are dependent on an international system of free trade. I think we don't produce everything that we need here in this country. In some products, they can produce more efficiently for a variety of reasons, things like lower energy costs, climate for certain agricultural products. There is a dependency on other countries for certain products and certain intermediate goods that's never going to go away. We're not going to close off this economy. What we ought to do is open up foreign markets for our products, lower our tariffs domestically so we can bring in lower cost intermediate goods, raw materials to keep our manufacturing sector and our agricultural sector booming.
I don't disagree with that, Brandon. And I think that, you know, zero tariffs would be nice. I just don't know if you ever get there. But who knows? The days of underestimating the ability of Donald Trump to get a deal done are past for most people, because most people realize you might not like his approach, but he gets things done. Brandon, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You have Brandon Arnold, everybody. Quick break. We'll be right back on the Steve Gerber Show.